can never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars, for the worst in all of us. Bless the glory of the cross, the wonder of His love, that's the beauty of the blood.
What a thought, just one single drop forever wipes away.
I haven't picked that song.
Or every stain.
And with its power, every chain that held us now lies at our feet. We stand free. That's the beauty of the blood.
The goodness of this grace, the mercy undeserved, that can never be explained. Heaven's best takes all the scars, for the worst in all of us. That's the glory of the cross, the wonder of.
Thank you. Good morning. Glad everybody could be here today. Brother Moyer, could you open us in prayer, please? Can you open us in prayer, please? Amen. Let's all stand and turn to 343 at the cross. 343.
Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Who hid me both that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I had done? He groaned upon the tree. Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Well might the stark and darkness hide, and shut his glories in. When Christ the mighty maker died, the man the creature sinned. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. But drops of grief I ne'er repay, the debt of love I owe. Dear Lord, I give myself away, 'tis all that I can do. At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day.
Amen. You may be seated, then turn over to 277. Trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and rule all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the skies. This is not a doubt nor a fear, not a sigh nor a tear can abide while we trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. On the last, when in fellowship sweet, we will sit at his feet, or we'll walk by his side in the way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still. Trust and obey, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey.
All right, thank you for your singing. Thank you, ma'am. All right. June 15th, Senior Saints at noon. They'll be meeting at Golden Corral for lunch. Wednesday, June 17th, Bible preaching and prayer at 7 with No Patch Club. And all the forms and money needs to be turned in for the junior campers that day. June 20th, bus visitation, church-wide operation, saturation, and soul winning at 10. And then the 21st was Father's Day. And the junior campers will be leaving immediately after lunch. Friday, June 26th, Nathan and Katie's wedding in Florida. July 5th, celebration at Pastor's House with grilling, chilling, games, and fireworks. And that starts at 5. July 12th, U.S. 250th celebration with veterans, veteran and Pastor Don Chitty. Thank you. All yours.
All right, you got all those announcements down and everything. You can pick up a bulletin at the back there, or maybe Jerry's still around, he'll hand them out. But anyway, make sure you have one. There's a lot of things coming up in church and different activities and everything. And we want to make sure that you're a part of that, and you can get the blessings of the Lord when you're with the people of God, okay? So let's get started here this morning. That's what we're doing. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 6 is where we're going to be today. And there was something else I was going to say. And I thought, oh, today's Flag Day. In case you haven't got your flag out, I happened to look at my calendar and it said Flag Day. Okay, put flag out. So, but anyway, many things that are happening at this time, and I don't know, I think, is it President Trump's birthday today, or is it tomorrow? Can't remember, but his birthday's coming up, and I always get those announcements telling me you need to think. Anyway, but there was something else, too. I know what it was. I put it in my Bible here. This week, I got a map in the mail. It's from the it's from somebody here, International Fellowship of Christians and Jews. Every once in a while, I get something from them. I always think it's interesting to see what's going on. But they sent me a map of Israel, and I was looking at this map. You can take this map, and I like it for one reason. It's got the names of these cities that they are now, And then I can go into my Bible and see what they were called in the Bible days. I like that part. But then this map here, when I got comparing it to what the land that God really gave Israel, they don't have even a fraction of what they should have. And so one day things are going to change. The maps are going to change no matter what the people may think, but they are. And I believe a lot of things are changing in the world today. The Iran situation, it's got a purpose to it, and different things. As I was thinking about it, and I pulled out my Bible and looked at the maps and where all the tribes of Israel were at the time when they were taking the promised land. They don't have hardly any of the land that they will have. One day the Lord's going to come back and He's going to establish all of that again. And I believe one thing that's going on today that with Israel and all the situations over there in the Middle East is the Abraham Accord. You know, that they've got together. A lot of that stuff is really got some prophecy by it, because as as different ones of the countries have taken on the Abraham Accord and they begin to do business with Israel and all these things, you see them softening in their hearts or in their thoughts about Israel. And those things happen. Anyway, that was just something that came in my mind and I was thinking about as I was looking through my Bible. But today we are in Luke's Gospel, and we're going to be in chapter 6. And last week we got through the part of chapter 6. We talked about just a little bit of review here. We talked a little bit about the 12 disciples chosen, the multitudes that was healed there in chapter in verses 17 through 19, and then the message to the disciples. It says here in Matthew chapter 5 verses chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 3 and 12 also is this portion of Scripture, and the harmony of the Gospels. As we harmonize the Gospels, we see some of the same things here. But this particular portion of Scripture, and I said, the Lord is giving a message to His disciples, and I believe as it started here, it was in the Matthew chapter 5, talked about the group coming up. Actually, it says in one of these, they're going down. That's, I believe, when he had chose his 12 disciples, and it says, in verse 17, and he came down with them and stood in the plains. And in Matthew 5, it says they went up. And some people call that a conflict in the Scriptures. Well, the difference is he was talking to the disciples in this particular thing, and they were up when he gave them that, and then they came down. And when you can go in that area, at least what I read and everything, that it actually has a plateau down below. And that's where the multitudes were. All these people were, and they came down. And that's why in Matthew's gospel, let me look over there real quick. Matthew chapter 5. And it says, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into the mountain when he was set down. So the multitudes came up and they came down. So that's what the difference is. That's how that's put together in the Scriptures. Again, it makes it harmonized. That's the harmony of the gospel, and it works. And we talked about the blessings. He talked about those, the poor that would get blessed, the hungry that would get going to be blessed, and those that weep are going to be blessed, and all these things. And then we went down to verse 24. It talks about some woes he gives them and some things that he says, these things are going to be are going to come upon you. Those who are rich ye shall receive your consolation. And those that are hungry, there are some woes in these things. We talked about that last week. We're going to start, though, today in verse 27. In verse 27, we're going to see a change here in the next few verses. And I believe he's got something. He's teaching his disciples here. So let's bow our heads for a word of prayer, and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that you give us guidance and direction this morning. I pray that you open our hearts to your word. And Lord, I pray that your spirit would work in our hearts and lives, that we might be able to honor and glorify you. Lord, I pray that you help me this morning, that my mind might be clear to the things that, Lord, you have for us. Lord, that your word would not return to your void, but accomplish that which you please and prosper in the things where you send it. I pray, Lord, you be with each one of us this morning, that our hearts would be open to your word. We're thankful, Lord, for all the blessings you give us. And Lord, there is some blessings in the reading of your word today. I pray that you just be honored and glorified now. In Jesus' name, amen. And it says in verse 27, but I say unto you, which hear, love your enemies, do good to them which hate you. I start up, it says, but. The first word on that is but. All these things he was talking to here in before, it's a conjunction. He's combining these. And now we're going to see the other thing. And I think probably one of the greatest conjunctions in the Bible is that word, but. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And in the book of Romans, where I find it more, we can look at here for just a minute. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, let's go back to verse 7. For the righteous man will one die. Yet pre-adventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God, there's a great conjunction, but God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, that's a great conjunction there. And we see here in chapter 6, he says in verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So whenever you see that but in there, there's a reason. It's a conjunction. He's tying some things together. In the book of Ephesians and chapter 2, we see the same thing happen. He says here in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 says, to whom we give a place or a subjection, no, not for an hour, talking about, no wonder that didn't sound right, because that's Galatians, never mind. We're in Ephesians, didn't I say? I was going to say, that didn't sound like it. He talks about, first in Ephesians chapter 2, you who were quickened, who were once dead in your trespasses and sin, were in time past, you walked according to the course of this world. Turn too many pages. And it goes on, says, in verse 3, among whom also we all had our conversations in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. The next verse says, but God, who is rich in his mercy and his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were yet dead in sins, hath he quickened, and quickened us together with Christ. So God changes the whole situation. In all these verses, we can see there that great conjunction there. I think it's John's Gospel, chapter 5. This one here I didn't have written down, but it's coming to my mind, so I'm going to use it. It says, John's Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 24, he said, Jesus said this. He said, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not be condemned, but is passed from death unto life." Go from condemnation to eternal life. That's what God did for us. So anyway, so when you see that in the Bible here in John, in Luke's Gospel, chapter 6, as we're reading that, but, yeah, all these things here, the woes and everything, the blessings, he says, but I say unto you, and make sure here what we understand, though, he says, I say unto you, yeah, personal, he's making it personal to the people there, which hear. Which is interesting, he says, which hear. You know, there's some that's going to have their ear, they're going to listen and hear, but they don't hear. They don't hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Many times that's said in Scripture. The Lord says that. Right here, he's saying, you which hear, love your enemies. And he's going to be talking about this situation of loving your enemies. He's going to be talking about the subject of love in these few verses. It says, do good to them which hate you. Now, that is not our normal selves. That's not the natural man that can do that. I hope we all understand that. Naturally, when somebody comes up and does something to me, my flesh flares up. I don't know whether yours does. But the good thing about it, I have a Holy Spirit that works into me, and when that flesh comes up, the Holy Spirit says, hold it, don't react, back off, think of what's going on. All these things. I had an incident this week actually that the flesh really flared up. I went to my doctor. And came in, shook my hand, said, "How you doing?" Didn't say a whole lot to me. I didn't understand where he was coming from. And when I got finished with it, I just kind of left it to, he had a bad day, and I'm not having a good one. So, he came in and told me, everything's looking good. Got your blood report here. I got my A1C was great. I'd never been this low. 5.7, I think it was, or something around that. That's below 6. That's great for me. And below 7 is good for a lot of people. And I knew a friend of mine, he thought below 10 was good. So, you know, but anyway, you know, that was a good report. And then he said, ask me how things were going. Well, then I began to tell him, I do have some problems. I'm having problems and sometimes breathing, and then sometimes I know when I try to exercise, I get a pop in my chest right here. My ribs want to pull apart, and I told him all these things. I think that's serious myself. Why is that moving like that when I'm exercising? I know I'm pretty skinny right now, but I should have, and then I begin to talk to him about muscle loss. I don't have the strength that I need. I went on to, and I told him, even my neck. I used to have a size of 17 and a half neck. Matter of fact, this collar here is one of my new shirts, so it's fitting me pretty good. It's about a 15. So that means I've lost about 2.5 inches out of my neck. So, and I can feel that, because when I move my neck, it's like ratcheting around, not moving smooth like it used to. And so anyway, I had some complaints. And he said, that's right, get on the table here, listen to my heart. Everything's doing good. See you next week. Or see you in 3 months, what he said. What about my neck? What about my hips that pop out? What about all? It was, you know, by that time my fuse was beginning to go. And I could feel it. And I said, you know, I'm sure the Holy Spirit came to me and said, I'm sure that he has some other problems on his mind. Maybe him and his wife weren't feeling or had a good relationship today. Maybe something happened in his life, so I let it go. I said, that only happened because the Holy Spirit was working in me, because I know my blood pressure was up. I mean, I was ready to, rip him off, but I didn't do that because the Holy Spirit works. And sometimes, and he's not even really my enemy. He felt like an enemy at the time. But anyway, it does happen to us. But the Bible tells us here, love your enemies. Now, we have some other people that become our enemies. And it's very hard. It's hard to go out and knock on doors and you try to give somebody the tract or the gospel and they say, I'm not interested. Or even sometimes people get very angry and they say words that they shouldn't even say, cursing God and everything else. It kind of becomes an enemy. Your flesh rears up. But the Bible tells us here that God wants us to love our enemies. And now, it did say in there, he says, I say unto you, which hear. Sometimes we don't hear. And the hearing here, I believe, is a hearing of the Holy Spirit. Hear the Holy Spirit as he talks to us. When things go wrong and things are not right, there are times when things happen. Sometimes people stand for the convictions and people come against them. I remember, matter of fact, I got a cousin who was in the photo business, he took a lot of pictures and different things, and someone asked him to photograph their wedding, and he was getting married to another guy, and I remember Randy said, no, I don't do that. I'm sorry, I take wedding pictures. And he almost got sued over the situation. I was right here in Wichita. And they were very upset with him because he wouldn't take their photos, do their wedding. And he said, well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to go beyond my convictions. I've got convictions on that. God has man and woman, and that's the way it is. I won't do it. He took a stand, and because of his convictions, he didn't get that job, but I tell you, he got many others. People that realized he had convictions and then became aware of it, and he's still in business today and doing a good job. But so sometimes our convictions causes people to hate us or to have problems with us. And sometimes we need to learn to stand. I believe as we're looking at a 250th anniversary of the United States, you have to realize those people that signed that Constitution or signed the Declaration of Independence, when they signed their name on there, they were putting their lives on the line. They had to stand for their convictions, what they believed in. And so enemies do come, and we have to be willing to stand against the enemies of this world. I mean, we've had a country for 47 years has said death with America. I think it's time we stand on our convictions. Anyway, that's another part. We won't go into that. But and then he says, bless them that curse you, pray for them which despitefully use you. That's kind of the things we were talking about. The Lord says all these things are going to come up in your life. He's given them and letting them know that things are not going to be easy. As the apostles here, he's put them and called them to be apostles. He's going to give them opportunities to go out two by two and to talk to people about the salvation that they can have in Christ and do these things. But he said, you're going to have to stand on some conviction. You're going to have to realize there's going to be people that are not going to like what you say. And you, he says, you're going to be cursed. And he said, pray for them that despitefully use you. And sometimes the problems sometimes we have today, even going out and handing out tracts, people not accepting our tract, and sometimes we get frustrated with it, but we need to pray for them. Pray for them. God wants us not to be angry with them, but to pray for them. He says, he says in the next verse here, it says, unto them that smite thee on one cheek, offer also the other. And to him that taketh away thy cloak, forbid not him to take thy coat also. So he's telling us to go beyond that. They don't like what we say. We still want them to understand that we have the love of Christ in our hearts, and he loves us. God is the one that Christ is. Where's my book? But the Lord has taught us all those things in his word. In the Gospel of John, we can see how he tells us to love our enemies. And I know what it is. 1 John chapter 4. To look over there for a minute. In 1 John, of course, John the Apostle is known as the Apostle of Love. He talks here in chapter 4 of 1 John. I thought I underlined it. Oh, here it is. I think he says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Every one that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And in this is manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. God loved us before we loved him, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for sin. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to also love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And so that's one thing we need to know let happen, is the love of God be perfected in us. And it's when we can look at people and not see them the way we see them, but see them as God sees them. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. He was the whole world. God is not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And so when we think of those things, the Holy Spirit brings them to our minds, then we can be the witnesses that we need to be. And this whole portion of scripture here, as we read down a little bit further, it says, give to, in verse 30, it says, give to every man that asketh thee, and of him that taketh away thy goods, ask them not again. And verse 31, as ye would that men should do unto you, do ye also unto them likewise, that you would do unto others as we would have them do to us. And it says, for if ye love them which love you, what think have ye? For sinners also love those that love them. And so that's kind of the normal situation. That's the way it always should be. But he says we need to go further. He says, and if you do good to them which do good unto you, what think have you? For sinners also do even the same. And if ye lend to them to whom ye hope and receive, what think have ye? For sinners also lend to sinners and receive as much. He says, but, here's another but here. He says, but love ye love your enemies and do good to them that lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. For he is kind unto the unthankful and to the evil. He's not willing that any should perish. All should come to repentance. So this talks about a lot of things, a lot of conditions that happen, things that happened in our life. I have a lot of times, and I've got come to the conclusion, you know, when my kids, after they got older and everything, they'd come to Dad with their problems and things. And I'd say, okay, you can borrow some money or whatever. I would loan the money. And I said, okay, I need this back. My banking account is not that great, so make sure you get it back to me. And sometimes it never came back. So, matter of fact, a lot of times it never came back. But come to think about it, I don't remember when it came. But anyway, it doesn't come back. I've had friends that needed something, and I gave it to them. And you know what? I learned a long time ago to take this verse to heart and to realize when you give something, give it. And it's gone. Just consider it no longer. Balance my checkbook. It's not there. Okay? And you do that, and it makes it a whole lot better, because then you know that you're loving from the heart. You're not needing something back. You don't have to, those things. You're doing it in the will of God, knowing that their need is met or whatever it may be, and you are able to help with that need. And so so I believe what he's saying here in verse 35, he says, but love ye your enemies, talking about your enemies here, do good and lend, hoping for nothing again. And your reward shall be great, and ye shall be the children of the Highest. So he tells us a lot of things that will come from when we give or lend or help somebody. When they're borrowing, that maybe they kind of almost like an enemy at that time. You're taken from me, you know. But we don't look at it that way. We give out of the generous generosity of our hearts. And we leave it to the Lord. Let God take care of whatever comes back. And he will. God supplies our needs. Sometimes we think that we give. You know, I've learned that in my giving to the church. I can give and give and give. And guess what? I get and I get and I get. And I don't because God is taking care of those things. He takes care of our needs. Everything I have, I believe, comes from God. I mean, I'm on Social Security, and all these things. It all comes from God, you know. Even when I remember retiring from Cessna, and I wasn't all the best businessman in the world. I mean, I had a 401k, and I thought of this thing. I tried to keep things up and different things, but. There was a time when Cessna had a real bad problem back in 2008, and when banks, had their problems, and I remember I didn't pay too much to where my stock was going, and most of my stock was going into Textron at that time, and guess what? Textron lost I don't know how many millions of dollars. I'm sure there's a lot, but they lost a lot. And guess what? My 401 was cut in half. Here I'm thinking I got 500,000. Next day I know I got 250,000. I said, where'd that money go? And they said, well, you had it all in Textron, and they split, or they had to, it wasn't a split, but they lost money during this banking issue time that they had. You might remember Obama and his telling people that these guys didn't need to fly their big airplanes in to Washington to keep their small aircraft or their private planes out of the air and all this year stuff. Well, people stopped buying private planes during that time. And Textron took a pretty good hit, at least Cessna did. And so things were pretty down. But you know what? At that time, I learned a few things. Okay, I needed to diversify. That was the new word, I guess, for me anyway. Diversify my funds, put them in different places. Well, by the time I left Cessna, I didn't get back to my $500,000 again forever. I think I ended up with a little bit enough to when I retired, that I was able to pay off the house and do a few things that I needed to do and things like that. And still have a little left over. But we learn sometimes, and sometimes. But we find out when we do things from the heart, as God would have us do, we find out you don't have to worry about those things happening. God takes care of us. He takes care of us. That's why tithing and giving to missions is really not a problem with me. Used to be a time when I kind of had to fight, make sure I got this money in there or whatever. It took a lot of effort, but it doesn't anymore because I turn it all over to God. You turn it over to Him, and He takes care of us, and He can do that. And He gives us more, as the psalm writer says, He loads us up with benefits. Psalm 68, I just think I read it this morning. But He loads us up with benefits. And so he gives us more than we need. We live in the richest country in the world. And sometimes we go around thinking, oh, well, I'm not poor. Well, if I know that I'm not Elon Musk. I'm not a trillionaire. The first trillionaire. Man, I didn't think I'd ever hear that. I didn't even know what $1 trillion was 10 years ago. But yeah, anyway, maybe it might have been 20 years ago. I don't know. Time flies. But I thought I'd never see a million. And, you know, wouldn't even know any people that are millionaires. Well, when Elon Musk became a trillionaire, made 4,800 and some other people millionaires. Man, that's amazing. I wasn't one of them. I guess I just didn't have my stock in the right place. But anyway, so, you know, God has a way of blessing. And we need to realize that he takes care of us. Like I said, we live in one of the richest countries in the world. Compared to any other country, we would be living in great wealth. With just the salaries, just what we have. But God says we have the poor with us always. Jesus told his disciples, you're going to have the poor with you always. And so there's always a need, and we need to be willing to meet those needs. I get a lot, like I said, I get a lot of things in the mail, international Christians and Jews things. And, of course, they have these things in there, the starving people that need your money, the Jewish that gone through the Holocaust. I didn't think there was many of them left, but they seem to be still out there, and they're starving. And I wonder, well, how come the Jews are not taking care of them? Here in America, we really do take care of people pretty well. Of course, we're finding out there's a lot of fraud out there, too. And when we get the fraud taken care of, I think we can take care of even more. And do it the right way. You know, I'm not going to get political. I'm not running for office. I would not run for office if someone elected me. If you vote me in, I'm not going to run. Anyway, but matter of fact, I just got a thing in the mail from Chase Blazy, and Chase just lives about a mile away from me there, and he did live. Used to live in the Gardner area, but anyway, a school district, and I run across him in store on 135th Street and Maple there, and I actually know his aunt and his uncle used to work at Cessna. He is the senator, a Kansas senator for our area. And anyway, and I don't know why, political. And there's a lot of political things. And he is telling me about all these things that they're doing and try to get fraud taken care of here in Kansas and different things. It's amazing how much there is out there. But we are still considered a very rich company. Country. Anyway, God tells us a lot in the Bible about one of my favorite verses, one of my daughter's favorite verses also. She told me the other day, she remembered this from being a kid as she was growing up, because we quoted it a lot, because I had five kids, and they needed to understand this verse of Scripture. Ephesians 4, verse 32 says, "Be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us." I'm so glad that that's the kind of God we have. Because of his Son and what he did, he's willing to forgive us. And there's other places in the Scripture, even in the Old Testament, where it says the same thing. God forgives us for his sake, because he wants the honor and glory. He doesn't hold our iniquities against us. But that's a very good scripture, and I hope you put it down as one to memorize if you don't have it memorized. Be kind one to another. That changes a whole lot of things. And we cannot have that kindness unless we know the Lord, unless we allow him, his Holy Spirit, to work in us. Because it's not our nature to always be kind. Always be kind. We've got into a culture that when somebody says something, we have to say something back. We just have to say, we have to give another reply, whether it's snooty or whatever, we got to reply, got to give a reply to it. But we need to realize we need to be kind one to another, tender-hearted. I think that's a whole part of being kind, tender-hearted. And we get tender heart from God, knowing he loved us so much. And then forgiving one another, be willing to forgive. And then even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven us. He didn't have to, but Jesus paid the price. He went to the cross of Calvary, shed his blood, and died that we might have eternal life. So here in the Gospel of Luke here, as we look today, a lot of that talks about God's love for us and the love we need to show to others. I think it was just a week ago or so, I think the preacher preached on the love of God. I think Brother Martin preached on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, well, at least mentioned it one time in his lesson. Love is a very important part of our Christian life. So let's bow our heads and we'll go to the Lord in prayer and looking forward to the message to come, okay? Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne this morning, we're thankful that we do serve a great God that loves us. Lord, I'm so glad you looked beyond all my faults and you saw my need, Lord, of a Savior. And Lord, you were willing to send your Son into this world, take upon yourself the form of flesh and became obedient even to the death of the cross. For me, Lord, I'm not worthy. There's none of us in here in this room, Lord, that are worthy. But Lord, we're thankful we have a God that loves us. For Christ's sake, you're willing to forgive us because of what he did for us. Father, we ask that you just bless the services to come. I pray that you be with the pastor as he brings his message. Lord, I know he's prepared. Lord, I know he's studied. He's put his time in. And Father, I pray that you would just bless the words that you've given him. Father, I ask that your Holy Spirit would work in the hearts of men and women. Lord, that our hearts might be open, our ears open to your word, and our hearts open to your word. Lord, that we might receive that word. Father, we ask that you'd have your will and way now in our lives, giving you the honor and the glory and the praise. We thank you again for your amazing grace and your love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.